Come to order. Senator Bennett, as a member of the recently announced Free Conference Committee on the Budget, I'm sure you'll be leaving us shortly, and I appreciate the panel for a quorum. I'd like to go through several pieces of legislation. First, I'd like to take up Substitute House Bill 156 related to legislative contracts. Paula, did you intend to testify?
I don't have anything to say other than that somebody favors this kind of a bill, but I'm not prepared to talk about details, so I thought that would somewhat be a waste of time to say if we like it.
Okay,
so
fine.
I think I'll listen to that.
Patty, did you have testimony planned?
I don't have anything in particular, Mr. Chairman. I'd be glad to respond to questions from the office and the office's motion.
Rich, did you have any testimony on Senator 156?
No, I have something on the House Bill
89. Okay. Well, let me take a look at this. The first time we've had 156 up.
Senator Barnett, pressure, Mr. Chairman, with Chapter 24. No,
We're going to appoint you. We're in the Free Conference Committee.
Well, I have nothing to worry about on that.
Well, we're going to appoint you if you had shown up. Yeah.
I see.
But,
Senator Barnett,
pressure, Chairman, with
Chapter 24.
Federal 156 contracting procedures. It just came over, so give you a chance to go through it. Ms. Foyer, would you come forward? You can state your name for the record.
Sure, my name is Patty Moriarty. I'm the Deputy Ombudsman. I believe Senator Barr just asked why the Ombudsman's Office was exempted from this bill that essentially provides procedures for legislative agencies when they're contracting. We are a legislative agency, but the concept of an ombudsman requires a great degree of independence from the legislative as well as the executive branch. That's the reason for the exemption. Also, the provisions of this bill about the approval of legislative contracts don't apply to the ombudsman. Legislative affairs contracts go to the council, legislative finance, the budget audit committee. There really isn't any place for the ombudsman to go for approval of our contracts. So the bill provides that we adopt regulations to establish procedures for
contracts. Senator Barr.
I guess my question was, if the ombudsman is going to conduct some special investigation, you're going to hire somebody to do it, whether you shouldn't also solicit bids. I guess that's the question. We had read page 2, line 19-20. I'm wondering if that's intended to exempt you from that procedure.
Page 2, line 20 does exempt us from requesting proposals.
That's what I'm asking, but that's my question. Why?
Well, there's two things to understand with regard to this section. When we need an investigator to do some kind of a special investigation, chances are there's going to be an employer-employee relationship between that person and the office. So we wouldn't hire them on a contract. We hire them as a non-permanent project employee. or an emergency employee. I can only think of one case in the last 6 years when we contracted for an investigator. That case, the complaint concerned a state employee who was a friend of virtually everyone on staff, and it was essential that we have someone else investigate the complaint. And in that case, there was no employer-employee relationship. We went out to find a fair and impartial investigator who could be trusted to do that investigation.
Are there other questions?
No, Mr. Chairman, except I just might comment. Presumably the bill is before us because of some of the complaints that have been reported about one legislator letting a contract out, setting aside a contract, no competitive bidding and so forth. And I guess I would, with all due respect to Mr. Flavin and to his successor, both of whom I have great respect for, you know, I don't know that any ombudsman is any more reliable, trustworthy, can get by without scrutiny or without the procedures any better than any single legislator can. It's just that simple. You know, if I, as the chairman of a committee in the Senate, wish to issue a contract, and I have to go through and get competitive bids, it appears to me the ombudsman should have to go through and get competitive bids too. I guess it's that simple.
Mr. Chairman, I believe it only exempts requesting proposals for investigators. It doesn't exempt any of our other contracts. It's just that there isn't any place for us to get them approved. We can't go through the executive branch system and the council and the budget and audit committee traditionally.
Ms. Moriarty, I didn't suggest anything about you getting them approved. I assume the ombudsman will choose from the proposal, right? I'm not referring to going anybody else to approve at all. I'm only referring to the competitive bid aspect, is what I understand on the thrust to be.
Senator Ray?
I'll yes. Solve it for you.
Senator Ray, you're so good to me.
The ombudsman is not a part of the legislature. This is a legislative contract. And I think we should strike all reference to the ombudsman in any part of it. Although I do agree with you that we should put it in some place, if the ombudsman is going to do that, maybe we should amend the Ombudsman's Act to provide them to do certain things.
Good news and bad news.
Okay.
Are there any other questions for Ms. Moriarty? Thank you very much.
I was going along your same lines, Charlie, until I started to think this legislative contracts. In fact, I was starting to
think. Well, there are a number of agencies. For example, the Ombudsman's Office, Code Revision Commission, for example, the Blue Ribbon Commission. It's agencies which are attached to the legislature financially, but may have little practical connection with the legislature.
The only practical relationship they have is through the appropriation process. The legislature has the veto power whether they exist or not. Same way with the ombudsman
or anybody else.
Same way with departments of administration, of the administration. Is there some kind of urgency on this thing?
No, there's another bill I wanted to have us take a look at that, which we'll discuss it.
By and large, I don't mind this thing.
I don't either. I'd like to spend a little more time. But I wanted to, because I suspect it will be one of the House priorities and something that we'll want to deal with, that we'll be able to deal with today. Are there any other questions on House Bill 156? If not, I'd like to lay that on the table and take up House Bill 89 tonight relating to the remedies for violations of campaign laws. Mr. Listowski, sir, please step forward.
My name is Rich Listowski. I'm the commissioner of the Alaska Public Offices Commission. Mr. Chairman, I was hoping to represent Brownwood earlier today to explain the reason why he introduced this proposed this amendment to the APC law. What I would just like to say is, speaking for the commission, is that we support the action that Brown is taking. confusion over the fact that when a candidate or an elected official or a public official is found in violation of the campaign or disclosure law or the conflict of interest law, the way the law right now reads, it seems like the APOC has the power, or at least we think the APOC has the power to remove that individual from office. And at least that's one legal interpretation. Another interpretation is that it, if the commission found a person in violation of the campaign disclosure law, the violation would immediately have to be sent up to the courts for the court to make a decision. Well, it was it's very unclear to us, you know, what the real intent of the law is. So what happened is that we had an incident in Fairbanks where a member of the assembly was found in violation of the campaign disclosure law, and on the request of several citizens from the city of Fairbanks, the commission held a hearing. And upon finding this gentleman in violation of the law, we immediately sent, the legal term would be, we immediately asked the Supreme Court to make some sort of decision as to whether or not this section of the law was constitutional. And the court appointed a master, and they're still trying to make some sort of determination. But early indications are, according to our attorney who has been discussing this with the master, is that that section will probably be found constitutional. But the commission feels that what Representative Brown is doing here will clarify the matter for everyone concerned. And it, I think it makes a lot more sense that if a member of a borough assembly is found in violation of the campaign disclosure law by the commission, that it should be that local assembly should be the body that removes that person from office if they feel that the violation is serious enough, and not give that kind of authority to the APOC. And basically, I think that this is what this bill does. And the only thing else I can say is that, you know, the commission supports what Representative Brown is trying to do here. And,
any questions that we have to answer? Yes, Senator
Clark. My last comment that Section 2, Article 2, Section 12 of the Constitution says, as far as the legislature is concerned, each house is a judge of the election and qualifications of its members. So I think it's very clearly that no one, including a judge, could throw out an elected legislator basis. Just need the House to do that. House or the Senate, whichever the appropriate body.
Or a recall petition by the public.
I favor the bill. It's one that I've seen before. In fact, it was in the bill that governor vetoed last year, if my memory is incorrect.
Why did he veto it?
I think it was in the APOC revision bill last year.
No, Senator Carr, this was not in the bill last year. First came to everyone's attention before we. It might have been because it was brought to everyone's attention because of the Bill Parker incident, and I think you're correct.
It was in a bill that passed the House, Mr. Chairman, in about 76, if I remember. It didn't pass the Senate. It was in the bill at that time, passed the very end of the session in 76. It's not a new item around at all.
Yes.
I thought it was in the bill last year that the governor vetoed, but I could be wrong on that. That's
I'm not sure about that.
To answer Senator Ray's question, my understanding was there was considerable objection in the governor's office to the fact that the statute of limitations was one year, and we virtually took any teeth out of the campaign disclosure law, something that Rich, you probably have some expertise in this area.
That bill is coming before you, I believe, next Wednesday. You will be hearing Bill 167, which relates to the statute of limitations, and also I don't believe that it would be in that one bill. No, this wouldn't be in it. But as far as the statute of limitations, I don't remember if the governor's letter specifically directly related to statute of limitation. I don't remember. Maybe it did. But it does take the teeth out of the.
What you're saying is nobody knows, okay?
Yeah.
No. I know.
It does affect the commission's work because, for instance, an off-year election. In an off-year election, when you have just the year-end report, it's just the timing of it. Because the commission is required to follow paper trails, and sometimes it takes a year or 2 years before these things come to light.
You're confusing me, Rich.
How's the chairman?
Ready to vote on this?
Very far.
Until you're ready, I'll move past the bill. I think this is a big improvement. One thing about it, Mayor, and our present statutes is, even though the candidate may be as pure as a driven snow, he is responsible for any violation by his treasurer or his deputy treasurer, which he may not even be aware of. And I think the people and his colleagues on the same body, the assembly, the council, the legislature, would be able to assess that fact.
This bill is a very straightforward bill and merely inserts in a number of places the statutes of violations 15-13 will be a reason for expelling a member. It will clear up, I assume, any ambiguity.
And Senate Bill 167 does deal with the statute of limitation.
Can you constitutionally make a person responsible for another person's actions?
Yes.
15-13 did do, unless they changed it.
I mean, can you? I don't know.
I would.
Yes, it's called vicarious liability.
What if you do it without my knowledge?
There are certain misdemeanors and felonies that.
My safeguards, suppose it. My campaign manager does something that I didn't even know he did. Suppose he embezzled half the money. And it came out and he was convicted of it.
I don't think that would.
Under this bill, that wouldn't affect unless you colluded with him.
Suppose he took money and from somebody and I didn't know he took it for my election campaign and he embezzled the money. I didn't report it to APOC. What happens then? And he's convicted of the embezzlement, and without reporting it, you could convict him, then I'm responsible for it, right?
They would not be able to charge you with embezzlement.
No. But the failure to report, right?
But I would be responsible, wouldn't I?
You would probably be held responsible for those funds not being reported on your forms, but that would be a misdemeanor. I mean, you couldn't be held responsible for a felony.
Isn't the candidate responsible? The candidate is responsible for the actions, and he did something wrong, and I didn't even know it. He took money.
That's a moot point. He's responsible under present law, and if that were the case under present law, the APOC would have the authority to remove you from the Senate. Under the bill that's before the committee today, that matter would be properly the province of the body itself rather than the APOC. So it embodies more safeguards for inadvertent actions that have no connection or reflection on the candidate.
The law on the books now is not constitutional.
Mr. Lestowski just referred to his... or it is the commission's question, and I believe it was the Marshall case, and we will know shortly whether it's constitutional or not.
I'm thinking about legislative. I'm not thinking about anything else.
Borough assemblymen should be treated no differently than the legislature.
They have provisions in the Constitution about who makes the qualifications or who determines the line of legislature. It's in the Constitution. It doesn't say anything about mayors in there or city council either.
We're talking about the APOC.
Oh,
I'm ready for a motion, Senator Vaughn.
Chairman, I move to pass out Bill 89.
The motion has been made to pass the bill from committee with individual recommendations. Is there any objection to that motion?
No.
Hearing no objection, the bill is passed from committee.
I'm up too late.
Okay.
I'm not too late.
I'll give you a pass.
Not me. I will have some amendments for this.
If you'd like us to hold it, so we can make some amendments in here.
No, I don't want to obstruct.
Justice?
The process of the getting out of here and final dispute.
Minor technical floor amendments?
Minor technical floor amendments. You know, like delete all after.
Good title. Make some amendments on the bill recorded tonight. Next, I'd like to take up House Bill 485.
Thanks, Rich.
Thank you.
Thank you. This bill continues the existence of the ABC Board. It's a fairly straightforward bill.
I have an amendment.
Senator Ray.
Amendment 1982 to, 1983 or 1984. I mean, you keep dragging these people one year at a time, and one of these times we can drop them off.
I was hoping that we'd have somebody from the House that could tell us why this particular date was suggested. Senator Ray,
I really don't care what the House did on it. I mean, I think it is, it's unfair to the agency. They've been audited. They have a new revised code.
And yes,
it seems
I
to
know.
Eliminate. Well, it seems to eliminate 95% of their problems have been eliminated.
I know a number of people in my district.
They were eliminated too.
I
would amend that to 1984.
Senator Parr, do you have any thoughts on this? This is a matter that we've dealt with before, and the committee has expressed its desire to see the ABC Board continue.
I can't agree with something. Ray, I want to agree with you. I don't really see this one-year string. That, I don't think the point is just year to year peace dealing. You know, if you maybe don't want to go to 84, but certainly if it's a 1 year thing, I think it's too short.
I mean, I'm inclined to agree with you as they have come through good audits. The ABC Board has enjoyed a good reputation, in fact, a better reputation in the past few years than it certainly did previously.
The code revision has helped them, really. It really has. It's eliminated a lot of their problems. You want to make it for a two-year deal?
Senator Parr, do you have any strong feelings on the...
No, I don't have any strong feelings, but certainly I think 1 year is too short. Go make it two or three, I don't really care much.
Well, if you make it 3 years, then it'll come out on election year again.
So
they get a whole new group of guys and they can kick them all out at that time. I'll make it 1984. Mr. President, Mr. Chairman.
Do you have any objection to that, Senator Barr? I have no objection to that either. The amendment has been proposed that on line 12, we change the word 1982 to 1984. Is there any objection to that motion? There's no objection to that motion. The amendment is adopted.
I'll move it out with the individual recommendation.
Okay. It's been moved that the bill passed through committee with individual recommendations.
Do pass.
And I am a do pass. Do pass. Unanimous do pass. Is there any objection to that motion? Hearing no objection, the bill will pass from committee with a do pass recommendation. That is the last bill on the agenda for today. To test the members to take a look at those things we have in committee that must move before the end of the session.
Are we still going to move the indifferent pronoun? I talked to Walker on that. If we put the one word in there, personal, in front of the pronouns, there's three places you put the word personal in. That makes it a little clearer, and they have no problem with it, and it satisfies my concerns.
I have no problem with the draft. We got it, sir.
That draft was the word personal in front of pronoun.
I don't think it's difficult. It seemed to do what was attempted to be done.
I'd like to change the preamble to the bill. Perhaps a bit stiff.
What?
What?
I thought you eliminated that whole thing.
Well, I'm not...
In your draft, you did.
Is there anything you and I talked about changing it? Is there any desire to change it? I have no preference one way or the other.
I'd eliminate the draft. I mean, I'd eliminate the purpose of it.
They're referred to as chicken soup clauses, in that they're much like chicken soup for pneumonia. They don't do any good, but they don't do any harm.
But you'll find some people who will hang their hat on the intent and twist it so that it has some bearing.
I don't have any problem with the draft. If I got it, Sunday Ray wants to bring the word personal in front of pronouns, it's all right.
I would like to eliminate the words actually explicitly, and I think it's inappropriate now.
What? Preamble?
No, well, yeah, the preamble also, but then any reference, I haven't seen the final draft, so it hasn't.
What I'm seeing is the word personal, like, you don't like.
Okay, that will replace the objectionable words.
Very good.
Is there any other business? Right. Senator Dushek, please adjourn.
What did they have the meeting today?